Romans chapter 12 this morning. If you didn't receive an outline, if you raise your hand, Chuck will get one to you. That'd be great. And while he's doing that, we have a book that came in. I have 10 copies of this at the table. You may need this for yourself or for someone else you know. All right, it's called Getting Back in the Race, The Cure for Backsliding by Dr. Joel Beakey. We're going to be watching a little of his message this morning, second hour on worldliness. But Dr. Beakey is just a good Bible teacher, good pastor, good author, and he just asks some penetrating questions and just gives some very, very helpful pastoral advice as to, like the book says, getting back in the race. Easy to backslide, easy to drift. This is a very, very helpful book as well. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me read this to you. Some of you have memorized this. The Apostle Paul, after spending 11 detailed chapters explaining the nuances of salvation, said this. He said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, we ask for your help as we look at some very familiar territory. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for your word. We just ask for clarity and that you would take these verses, this truth, and drive it deep in our hearts so that we will come to the point of decision and obedience. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Monday morning, I came in early to begin working on this morning, and I pulled off a couple books dealing with Romans 12. And I noticed right away that Dr. James Montgomery Boyce took 12 weeks, rather 10 weeks, to speak on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then I pulled Dr. Lloyd-Jones' volume on Romans 12, and Dr. Lloyd-Jones spent 10 detailed Sundays messages as well on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And last Sunday, I think I spent 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes on these two verses. So I thought, I better go back, I better slow down, and I better do a deep dive into these verses. And I want to say this, and maybe I'll say this several times this morning. I've come to the conclusion, I don't know why just now, but Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, are perhaps the most important verses in the Bible on the Christian life. And many of you have memorized, and many of you know them, but we really haven't thought about what Paul's really saying. Two very important, most important verses on the Christian life. About a week or so ago, I had to go to New Jersey for a day of board meetings for Keswick. And on the turnpike drive, I like to listen to classical music. And as you're driving along, you have to change your stations because some of them go weaker after a while. And for some reason, I ran across a radio station that's owned by, I believe, Calvary Chapel Radio. And they were playing the end. I caught the end of a message by Pastor Lloyd Pulley, who's been pastoring in Old Bridge, New Jersey for years. And he was preaching on Satan. And what I thought was fascinating, at the end of his message, the announcer came on and offered a book, if you'd call and if you'd write in, called The Strategy of Satan. Here's the one they were offering, The Strategy of Satan by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. How many remember the name Dr. Warren Wiersbe? Remember that name? He spoke for years on Back to the Bible. And Dr. Wiersbe wrote this book, The Strategy of Satan, How to Detect and Defeat Them, in 1979. And I was like, I thought it was great. They're still keeping it in print and making it available through Calvary Chapel. When Dr. Wiersbe writes about strategy, he says Satan's strategy goes for two targets, two key targets. You want to write these down because we're not going to project these. Satan's two key targets. This deals with you. He targets your body and he targets your mind. He targets your body and he targets your mind. You ever wonder why you go through some debilitating disease or something like that? Could be you caught it from someone, could be a bunch of things, could be Satan's attacking your body. I was fascinated by that because Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, deals with your body and your mind. And if we're not dealing with God's view, his will for our body and our mind, we're opening ourselves up for demonic attack. I said to Sue last night, we're seeing York County grow darker spiritually, and we're seeing ministries that were once very vibrant in York County disappearing. And so we are thankful for what Dr. Ann Gotti's doing. By the way, if you want a copy of his book, you need to go on Amazon and get one. That would be very, very helpful. We're thankful for that. Back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. If God allows, I want to spend several sessions here. I'm not going to spend 10 weeks here, but at least two or three. And by way of introduction, I want to just mention four D words that we all need to be reminded of before we get into Romans chapter 12 a little bit. All right? Number one, we want to mention the Christian's divine deliverance. The Christian's divine deliverance. We went through this in Colossians. Very key verse here. Let me read it to you in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Paul speaking to Christians. He's talking about our salvation. And he says, speaking of God, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Who runs the domain of darkness? That's Satan's realm. Okay, he's in charge there. And God translated us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Salvation has to do with your divine rescue, your being rescued from Satan's domain. It is supernatural, and the enemy is never happy about that. By the way, not an effort on our part, all of grace. Second D word is, this results in different ownership. And this is where we get tripped up. This is where we get tripped up here. My youngest daughter likes big dogs for some reason. And where did she get that first big golden retriever from? The farm. Some farmer gave her. Okay, so she had this dog. And you know anything about golden retrievers in your house? They shed all over the place. They shed all over. Nice dogs. I can't pick them up, but nice dogs. And so she decided, remember this one? She decided to give the dog away. So she decided to talk her brother into picking up the dog. I remember that day. I wasn't happy. Doc, you know, sometimes you're not happy. I wasn't happy about that day, okay? They're all in my big room, you know, the back room. The dog's running all over the place. And I'm thinking, make a decision. Oh, his uncle Brian said, you want this dog? You didn't have the dog at the time, remember that? And so what my son did wisely, he took the dog. It's in Florida now, living large. The dog's having a good time. But they renamed the dog. Different owner, different name. Okay, they named, what was the name? It was Jackson before, wasn't it? They named it Ringo, based on some famous quartet somewhere. Okay, they named the dog Ringo. The problem is, when Emily comes around, the dog forgets who the real owner is. You got that picture? Got that picture? Okay. Often we forget who we belong to, and when we forget who we belong to, we act like everybody else. And so in 1 Corinthians, you know these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, Paul says this very strongly to a church that was just acting like everybody else. They were just going with it. And he says, do you not know? And here it is again, your body, remember we're dealing with the body and the mind. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of Christ, Calvary, all right? So therefore, glorify God in your body. Romans 12:1 tells us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. You're not your own. We have a new master. We've been set free to serve. And if we understand Romans, rather 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, we shouldn't have a problem with presentation. Third dear D word, I'm just going to mention these. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, presents the believer with a discipleship demand, or with discipleship demands. These are not suggestions. These are not tips for how to have a happy Christian life. These are not an option, and we all love our options. These concern active spiritual warfare or genuine Christianity. Your body, your mind. Number 4D, and I'll stop with the D's here, it's dogmatic. It is very dogmatic. It is truth. It's apostolic authority. And to neglect what Paul has to say in Romans 12, 1 and 2 will result in a weak life, no real discernment, and potential backsliding. And when you backslide and you drift, you look like the rest of everybody else on their way to eternal destruction, and that's not good. Last Sunday morning, we looked at, though very briefly, Roman numeral 1 on your notes, Romans 12, verse 1, the ongoing presentation. I just read that to you. I'll read it again. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, reasonable spiritual worship. That's a continual call to consecration, maybe daily. You know, Brian just had us, great selection this morning, as always. He just had us sing, We Have Decided to Follow Jesus. That's something we need to sing all the time. This kind of ongoing presentation has to do with a commitment based on grace, and again, daily presentation. And I'll probably come back there, but for this morning, I want to go to Roman numeral 2 on your notes, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and talk to you again about ongoing transformation through mind renewal. And this is how a believer, this is how a disciple maintains the commitment made in Romans 12, verse 1, another lifelong process. And I want to begin to take this apart a little bit for you this morning, all right? Remember, Satan targets your mind and your body. He targets your mind and your body. Five categories here. If you don't get this morning, most of it's projected, some of it's not. See me, I'll give you a copy of my notes, I'll give you all the stuff, all right? Five introductory observations from Romans 12, verse 2. And a lot of this is redundant, but it needs to be redundant, okay? First observation is, I believe, as I said before, this is the key to the Christian life. Mind renewal leading to transformation. It is the key to the Christian life. If you're looking for what do I need to be concentrating on in my Christian life, this is it. Second observation is, the only way to experience genuine victory in spiritual warfare has to do with mind renewal, right? I have some friends who are in deliverance ministries. They will deal in a demonic realm. I don't always agree with them. They are dealing in a realm outside my expertise, but I do know that, well, let me give you a couple verses here talking about divine deliverance here. Let me read you a couple verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter, and you'll find this several times in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says this. He says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's by Satan. That's why we need mind renewal. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And I'm not going to argue or present a timing issue in this particular verse. I'm just going to read it to you and deal with maybe a theological statement. It says this in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. And this is another title for the devil, the deceiver of what? The deceiver of what? Right now, the whole world is being deceived by who? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. And if we're not renewing our mind, we'll get very upset about that thing. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with them. The only way to experience genuine victory in spiritual warfare, active spiritual warfare, is through mind renewal that leads to transformation. Third, said before, I'll say it again, it is damaging or dangerous to your spiritual life to neglect this. It is dangerous, damaging to your spiritual life to neglect this. We could talk more about that. Fourth observation, you can't store up mind renewal. How many know that? How many know you can't store up physical exercise? I meet with a young man. He gave me his exercise routine. It was very, very nice. But you just can't exercise one day a week and think you're going to be okay the rest of the week. All right? You can't eat healthy one time and then eat junk the rest of the week and think you're okay. This is a continual process. I have a iPod. You know what an iPod is? Every time I start using something modern, they change these things and they're old-fashioned. I have an iPod, and it is so old, the battery doesn't store up a whole lot. I have to continually charge it, just like mind renewal. Fifth observation, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, there's three components. We'll look at one this morning. There's a negative component, do not be conformed. There's a positive, be transformed. And there's specific results you are promised when you're involved in obeying Romans 12, verse 2. On your notes, second category here, there's a negative demand. And we want to take this apart just a little bit. There's a negative demand. We just read that when we read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. This is quite dogmatic, as we said. This is not an option. And to neglect this is to invite harm. To do not be conformed means we don't allow ourselves to be fashioned into the template we've been saved from. We are already part of the world system. We were translated out of that. It means we need to have a change of habits. It means we cannot go along with the old life anymore. We're new people. We need to act in a new way. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest, if not greatest chapters in the whole Word of God dealing with victory in Christ. Romans 8, verse 29 says this, gives a little bit concerning the purpose of our salvation. It says in Romans 8, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, here it is, to be conformed to the image of his Son, conformed to the image of Jesus, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And that'll be fully experienced when the Lord Jesus comes back for us. Our parts involved here, we are told to be involved in mind renewal because conformity just happens. If you want to be conformed to this present age, just do nothing. The system will do everything for you, like rapid river flow. Just do nothing. I stuck this in my notes. I want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, because here's an example of a church that did it right. Here's an example of a good church, okay? Here's an example of a church that turned from whatever they were trusting in, placed their faith in Christ, serving Christ, obeying, and waiting for Jesus to come back. 1 Thessalonians, totally into mind renewal. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I think with a great satisfaction, Paul writes this. He says, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. Here it is. Negative. How you turned to God from idols. They turned from what they were trusting in. They turn to God to serve the living and true God, and here it is, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the coming wrath, the wrath to come. That's the result of mind renewal. Mind renewal, very, very important. All right, back to our study. Third observation on your notes. Third, let's define the world for a moment. Let's define the world for a moment. When Paul says not to be conformed to this present age or this world, it's a very interesting. All your different Bible translations are going to handle this in a different way. ESV says this world. Some Bible says translations write out scheme, system, organization. It is an organized agenda under whose power? The devil, all right? It is this present age, the age in which we're living in, and God calls it evil. God calls it evil. Listen to this. Galatians chapter 1, where right before Paul really gets going, because he's fired up about false gospel in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, here it is, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. God calls it evil. God calls it evil. God says we can't be conformed to it any longer. And if we don't do anything, we will be conformed. It just happens. The goals of this age are fourfold. The goals of this present age are fortune, spend your time and your energy on fortune, spend your time and energy on fame, spend it on power, and spend it on pleasure, always leaving God out. The world can be defined also as, and this is descriptive, life and activity, which is the result of the fall, Genesis 3, and is currently being controlled by the devil. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Remember last week, if you were here, we talked about how it's kind of fun to listen to older believers who are still walking in victory, knowing the Lord Jesus, listen to what they have to say. This is what John has to say. It's an ugly picture. It's an ugly picture. The beloved apostle John says, we know that we are from God. And here it is. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's strong. That's why we can't be conformed to it. I won't read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Says right now the God of this age is blinding the minds of unbelievers, attacking the minds, lest they come and believe the glorious gospel. So it's leaving God out, being controlled by the devil, the enemy of every genuine believer. And it is a system, as I said, opposed to God, never neutral. And the conformed, number four on your notes, the conformed, there's a problem here. The problem here, I think we said this, if we don't do anything, if we're passive with this, our default mode would be we end up being conformed, being like everybody else, thinking like everybody else. Today, number five, we are living in an age of mindlessness. Mindlessness is a term that can describe our culture a bit. Back in around 1990, Dr. James Montgomery Boyce did a series of messages called Mindlessness, the Christian Living in a Mindless Culture. And he said there's no longer a Christian mind. I don't know what he would say if he'd still be alive. We're living in a mindless society. People do not take time to think. And with our devices, they don't allow us to think. We're always checking something out. We're always listening to something. And the symptom, and I want to say this kindly, but a symptom of our age, the mindlessness of our age, is the popularity of Vice President Harris. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. I've listened to a little bit of commentators from all the way from CBS over to Fox interview her. You have too, right? They ask her the same questions. They say, Vice President, Madam Vice President, we have some problems. We have problems with what? immigration, the borders. We have a problem with the economy. What else? I think there's three or four big problems. What else are they?
Abortion.
Yeah, abortion. There's something else. And Israel comes up. And both sides of the spectrum when it comes to the media, they ask her very politely, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And what did she say? She says, today is yesterday's tomorrow or something like that. And she goes on and on and on and on.
From a middle-class family.
What's that?
She's from a middle-class family.
Yeah, or I live in a community or something, the community bank. And late-night comedy doesn't have to change what she's saying. They just parody that. And people follow. And I don't want to be critical of her, that's for another time, but the fact that there's such popular following is that we are a mindless culture. We're not thinking this through. I remember years ago when, well, you love this, you know, we would listen to Mrs. Clinton. We would listen to other people. We did not necessarily like them or agree with them, but at least there was a well-thought-out plan, whether you liked it or not. Today is pure mindlessness. That is our culture, and has come out to, has come over into the church. Dr. Boyce writes about Vanna White. Remember Vanna White? What did Vanna do to become famous? What did she say? No, let's not go there, okay? She didn't do anything but turn letters, and people loved her. She was a celebrity, very, very rich. He said, that's our mindless culture. My children, quite a while ago, recommended several very popular situation comedies to take a look. I won't even mention them, Hannah. I won't even mention them this morning. And you turn them on, it was pure mindlessness. Pure mindlessness. Religious TV gets that way as well. We need to pursue mind renewal. And since Dr. Boyce is day, there have been some top-notch medical experts, I believe Robert Amin, Dr. Amin's one of them, who have done some new research into the brain that explains how our thinking changes things, our habits change things. We need to pay more attention to mind renewal like the Word of God told us to. I want to conclude this morning. You don't have this, but I want to ask number three a diagnostic question. I'll give you some tips on what to do for mind renewal, and we don't usually do that. We'll do that next Sunday. But I want to ask a question. How do I know that I'm being conformed to this present age? How do I know? I don't want to be conformed. I live in this age. How do you know? How do we know that perhaps we are being conformed to this present age without even realizing? Let me give you some. I wrote down 11 observations. Okay, try some of these on, and then next hour, we want to listen to what Dr. Beakey says about worldliness. You know that you are being conformed when to this present age when we fail to pray. We fail to pray. Paul tells us to pray about what? Yeah, you know. Several weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago now, I was fired up about a particular situation that happened at Keswick, and I wanted to get involved there. I wanted to call the guy. I wanted to put my support behind him. I'm an executive secretary there. You know, I wanted to talk to him, and my wife said, maybe I ought to pray about it. Okay, I will. I feel like calling him up, but she said, why don't you pray about it for a while? I said, okay, I will. And I did. I did. I tell you, I'm so glad I did, because it would have been a mistake to make that phone call I wanted to make. All right, and things rapidly changed. The whole situation changed. And boy, sometimes you're glad I'm always glad listening to my wife. That's a good thing. When we fail to pray, it's an indication we're being conformed. Here's another one. You have to take this home and think about it. When common sense rules our thinking, when common sense rules your thinking. I'm not saying we should throw common sense out. You're going to think we're just going nuts here. No. You know, James chapter 3, verse 15 talks about the devil's wisdom that the church was getting involved with. And it's very easy to say, well, it makes sense to me. It may be devil's thinking. That's being conformed because we don't have the big picture apart from God's word. Number three, when we are led by culture, when culture dictates. We're being conformed. Number four, when politics rule, we're being conformed. Number five, when we are impressed by the influence we have. I'm hearing that out there. Oh, the evangelicals have such a strong influence. We're being conformed. James 4 talks about that. Here's one that's too convicting. When our conversations, verbal and lifestyle, when our conversations leave God out, we find we rarely speak of Jesus. We talk about everything else. I talk about everything else. I get excited about a lot of things. But it's very easy not to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a problem. If our minds are being renewed, if we're doing that, and we're going through spiritual transformation, we'll be speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, another indication that we are being conformed is that we're not thinking at all about walking in the Spirit. Number eight, when we know we're being conformed, when we fight worldliness through legalistic narrowness, labeling certain activities good or bad. That doesn't cut it. Number nine, we know we're being conformed when one thinks, let me read this one to you, that these two opposite value systems, this world system and God's will, are totally compatible and in and can get along. They're not. They're not. Number 10, of course, you know we're being conformed when we neglect mind renewal. When we neglect mind renewal. And number 11, when the church is left out. When the church is left out, the body of Christ. Oh, we may go. We may be part of, but it's really not part of our inner being. I want to encourage you, and next Sunday I plan on looking at the positive part of transformation. What do we need to be thinking about? What do we need to be reading to renew our mind? We'll talk about that. We have a list for you. But I want to encourage you in the meanwhile to do some thinking about taking Romans 12, 1 and 2 to heart, all right? That involves consecration. That involves transformation through mind renewal. Take it to heart. I believe, as I said before, these are two of the most important verses for the Christian life. And then I encourage you to stay with us as we hear, we'll show as much of this as we can, a wonderful man of God talk about the topic of, not a happy topic, worldliness. What about worldliness? What's the Word of God say about worldliness? How do we fight it biblically? Father, we want to make sure our bodies are being offered as living sacrifices. And Father, we want to be transformed by biblically renewing our mind the right way. Lord, we want to please you. We want to be able to stand apart and discern your will and make biblical, godly, spirit-filled decisions in a confused, mindless world. Father, give us your perspective on the unsaved world. Give us an energy to reach it. And thankful, Father, for those here who are passionately involved in aggressive evangelism. Lord, thank you for a church that loves your word. May we put this into practice and experience blessing like never before in Jesus' name. Amen.